Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a pleasure being with you one more time. This is your weekly radio talk show, Islam for Mankind, coming to you live, speaking to you from the beautiful city of St. Petersburg. Although it's a little bit gloomy outside, but alhamdulillah, our situation and our weather is way better than many people that are going through cold fronts and a lot of snow. So much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah ta'ala, today I want to talk to you about one of the stories of one of the prophets mentioned in the Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will start by saying, إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنْفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Dear listeners, like I said, inshallah ta'ala, we'll discuss today another tremendous story from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will relate it to the last two shows that I had speaking about the situation that the Muslim Ummah is going through right now. And of course, all of it is related because you look at the stories of the Quran and you learn so much about adversity and how you should handle it, how you should deal with it, and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put many stories in his book as a source of wisdom, benefit, and learning experience for the final messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, first of all, and his companions and the rest of the ummah, the rest of the Muslims. Para sus amigos que en español, inshallah ta'ala, hoy voy a discutir una otra tremenda historia, bien cuento del libro de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, del Corán. Y como he dicho varias veces antes, que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala colocó muchos cuentos en su libro como fuente de sabiduría, de beneficio, aprendizaje y experiencia para su mensajero, Muhammad, que la paz de Dios sea con él en primero, y también por sus compañeros y el resto de la umma de los musulmanes. يقول الله عز وجل في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكلًا نقص عليك من أنباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك وجاءك في هذه الحق وموعظة وذكرى للمؤمنين وقل للذين لا يؤمنون اعملوا على مكانتكم إنا عاملون وانتظروا إنا منتظرون ولله غيب السماوات والأرض وإليه يرجع الأمر كله فاعبده وتوكل عليه وما ربك بغافل عما تعملون. Some tremendous ayats, tremendous verses from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his messenger Muhammad. May the blessings, peace and the blessings be upon him and all the prophets and the messengers that came before him. And very significant, as well as you will see from the translation, inshallah ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and each story we relate to you, O Muhammad, from the news of the messengers by which we make firm your heart. And obviously we understand why, because our Prophet, peace be upon him, was going through a lot of adversity, especially at the hands of his own people, when he first came and made his call to monotheism public in an environment of idol worshipping. So he was not taken well, was not received well by his people. So there was a lot of adversity for him. So Allah said, we relate to you these stories with the messengers that came before you, so that it will make your heart firm. And then Allah goes on to say, and there has come to you in this the truth, and an instruction and a reminder for the believers. And say to those who do not believe, work according to your position. Indeed, we are working, and wait. Indeed, we are waiting. And to Allah belongs the unseen, or belong the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth, and to Him will be returned the matter, all of it. So worship Him and rely on Him, and your Lord is not unaware of that which you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo, y esta la traducción de lo que estaba diciendo, y cada cuento que le relatamos, le relacionamos a usted o a ti, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hablando con su mensajero, Muhammad, dice por las noticias de los mensajeros, es por lo cual nosotros hacemos firme su corazón. Y le ha llegado en esto la verdad, una instrucción y recordatorio para los creyentes, un recuerdo para los creyentes, la historia, el cuento para los creyentes. Y di a los que no creen, trabajen según su posición, que de hecho estamos trabajando, y espera, de hecho estamos esperando. Y a Allah pertenecen los aspectos invisibles de los cielos y la tierra, y a Él se lo devolverá el asunto. Así que adórelo y confíe en Él, y su Señor no ignora lo que usted hace. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we will speak about one of the prophets and the messengers of Allah by the name of Yunus ibn Matta, from the descendants of Ya'qub, Jacob, peace be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him by name in the Quran 4 times. And he mentioned him by his description or nickname 2. He's known by in Christianity, he's known as Jonah. And then the Jews call him Yonah or Yunan bin Amittai. Yunan bin Amittai. This nobleman was also called in the Quran Zunnun, or Sahibul Hut, the man of the fish. He was sent to his people of a town called Nainawa, a city of over 100,000 people in the province of Al-Mosul. And of course, there was no, that name did not exist in the past and that back then, but this is in the country that is known today as the country of Iraq. And it was said that the civilization was the one of the Assyrians, in Arabic, Al-Ashuriyun, and they were a very powerful but an oppressive civilization. The inhabitants of the city were people of shirk and kufr. They attributed others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. They were not monotheistic. They denied the worship of Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Their response to the call of Yunus alayhi salam was a typical one, the same response that the people of kufr and arrogance have with their prophets and their messengers all throughout history. This is what we found our fathers and forefathers upon. Our way is the ideal way. Our religion is the best religion. You're nothing but a fool. You're nothing but a sorcerer, etc., etc. They all had very similar responses to their prophets and messengers all throughout history. يقول الله عز وجل, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسل إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون أتواصوا به بل هم قوم طاغون. Translation: similarly, they came not to those before them any messenger except that they said, a sorcerer or a madman. Did they suggest it to them? Rather, they themselves are a transgressing people. Hoy, inshallah ta'ala, vamos a hablar de uno de los profetas y mensajeros de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, con el nombre de Yunus ibn Matta. Y es de uno de los descendientes de Yaqub alayhi salam, que es Jacob. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala le mencionó por su nombre en el Corán 4 veces y lo mencionó por su descripción o apodo 2 veces. Los cristianos lo conocen como Yona y los judíos le llaman Yuna o Yunan ben Amitai. Este nombre noble también fue llamado en el Corán como Dhunnun, o bien Sahibul Hut, el hombre del pez. Fue enviado a la gente de un pueblo llamado Nainawa, una ciudad de más de 100,000 personas, en la provincia de Al-Musil, que es el país que hoy se conoce como el país de Irak. Y se dijo que la civilización era la de los asirios, el Ashuriyun en árabe, una civilización poderosa pero opresiva. Los habitantes de esta ciudad eran personas de shirk y kufr. Ellos atribuyeron a otros con Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala en su adoración. Ellos negaron la adoración de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Su respuesta a la llamada de Yunus alayhi salam fue la típica, la misma respuesta de la gente de kufr y arrogancia a sus profetas y mensajeros a lo largo de la historia. Este es lo que encontramos a nuestros padres y antepasados haciendo. Nuestro camino es la manera ideal, nuestra religión es la mejor religión. No eres más que un tonto, no eres más que un hechicero, etcétera, etcétera. La misma respuesta que la gente de arrogancia han tuvido con sus profetas y mensajeros. After 33 years, according to narrations of calling them to Allah, giving them advice and trying to get them to come back to their senses, they would not listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to give them an ultimatum. They had 3 days, either to believe, follow, and adhere, or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to come down on them. 3 days. Allah azza wa jal, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. Allah said, this is the translation, and we will surely let them taste the nearer punishment short of the greater punishment that perhaps they will repent. And who is more unjust than one who is reminded of the verses of his Lord, then he turns away from them? Indeed, we from the criminals will take retribution. So either you believe in Allah, the ultimatum said, and you have 3 days, either you believe in Allah or the punishment that befell the transgressing nations before you will come down on you as well. That was the ultimatum that Yunus alayhi salam gave his people. In spite of that, they still refused to believe. They said, do your worst, Yunus, Jonah, do your worst. Bring it on. We will never believe in you, and we think that you are a liar. At that point, Yunus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, got angry with them, and he lost all hope in their guidance, upset for what awaited them from the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He decided to leave. He thought that it was time to go, give da'wah, call people to guidance in somewhere else. Go call other people, as these people that he was with for a long time would never believe, and that they were doomed. Little did he know that it was a mistake, as a messenger of Allah cannot just up and leave without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had to be more patient, as patience is a virtue that all of the prophets and the messengers of Allah should have an abundance of. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells him the following, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ تَصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْظُومٌ لَوْلَا أَنْ تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Translation. And be patient for the decision of your Lord, O Muhammad, and be not like the companion of the fish when he called out while he was distressed. If not that a favor, if it was not for a favor from his Lord that overtook him, he would have been thrown onto the shore while naked, while he was censured. And this, and his Lord chose him and made him from the righteous. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said,
وَذَا النُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَّن نَّقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ.
And I have to stop here for a second and do some, and give the Arabic language a little bit of justice, because there are some points here for especially for Arabic speaking people that have to be discussed very quickly. Ibn Abbas قال في قوله وذا النون إذ ذهب مغاضبا يقول غضب على قومه قال الضحاك إذ ذهب مغاضبا أي مغاضب أما غضبه فكان على قومه. فهنا يعني يطرح سؤال, كيف يظن نبي من أنبياء الله تعالى ورسول من رسله أن الله عز وجل لا يقدر عليه أو لا يقدر عليه وهو من الأنبياء؟ قال الزمخشري أن معاوية بعث إلى ابن عباس قال لقد خضت الليلة في بحر كتاب الله فضربتني الأمواج حتى كانت تغرقني وليس لي إلا أنت. وابن عباس هو ترجمان القرآن. قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وما ذاك؟ قال قل قوله تعالى فظن أن لن نقدر عليه, كيف يظن نبي أن الله لا يقدر عليه وأنه يعجز الله؟ قال ابن عباس ليس ذلك من القدرة ولكنه من القدر, وشتان بين القدرة والقدر. وهذا هو الجواب, أن هذا من القدر وليس من القدرة, كما قال الله عز وجل وأما إذا ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانا أي فضيق عليه رزقه. إذن قوله تعالى فظن أن لن نقدر عليه, فظن أن لن نضيق عليه ونعاقبه بسبب ما فعل. والمعنى الثاني أن ذلك من القدر, فظن أن لن نقدر عليه, أن لن نقدر عليه أي فظن أن لن نقدر عليه ما يكرهه بسبب فعله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah and mentioned the man of the fish, meaning Yunus, Yonah, when he went off in anger and thought that we would not decree anything upon him, meaning he thought that we would not reprimand him and make things difficult for him. He thought that we would not put him in a tight situation. So it is important to mention that Yunus alayhi salam went out angry with his people, not for his own sake, not for himself, not for his ego, but it was actually for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because of something personal, but he was angry because these people would not believe in the creator of the heavens and the earth. And yet, he was reprimanded because he did not follow the... It was not an order. It was not something ordained by Allah. And we know something that's very important. Prophets and messengers cannot move around and travel and do things and say things and get married. Anything that they do is actually ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to be a strict instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what happened with Yunus. And a quick translation, inshallah, I'll come right back. Después de 33 años, según las narraciones, de llamar a su gente a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aconsejarlos y intentar de hacer que vuelvan a su sentido, a sus cabales, ellos no escucharon nada. Entonces Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala le ordenó darles a 3 días. Tenían solo un ultimátum de 3 días. Y ya, para o bien creer, seguir y adherirse, o el castigo de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala iba a caer sobre ellos. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dijo en el Corán que seguramente les dejaremos probar el castigo más cercano, salvo del castigo mayor, que tal vez se arrepientan. Hay palabras en el español que le cuesta pronunciar de una manera correcta. Entonces, tal vez que se arrepientan. Y quieren más injusto que alguien que a quien se le recuerdan los versos de su Señor, entonces él se aleja de ellos. De hecho, nosotros los de los delincuentes tendremos retribución. Entonces, el ultimátum fue: o bien creen en Allah, o bien el castigo los va va a caer sobre sus cabezas. Y eso a pesar de este ultimátum que él los dio, dijeron ellos: haz lo peor que puedas, Yona, tráelo, nunca creemos, vamos a creer en ti porque pensamos que tú eres un mentiroso. Y ese momento Yunus se enojó con ellos y fue y perdió toda esperanza en su guía. Estaba bien molesto por lo que le esperaba del castigo del tormento de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Él decidió irse. Pensó que era hora, era tiempo de irse y a dar la da'wa a otras personas, a llamar a otras personas al camino recto, ya que nunca esta gente va a creer. Poco sabía él que fue un error. Como un mensajero de Allah, no puede levantarse y marcharse sin el permiso de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tenía que ser más paciente, como la paciencia es una virtud de la que todos los profetas y los mensajeros de Allah deben tener abundancia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hablando con su mensajero Muhammad, que la paz de Dios sea con él, Dice entonces, ten paciencia por la decisión de su Señor, oh Muhammad, y no seas como el compañero del pez, cuando gritaba mientras estaba afligido, sino fuera porque un favor de su Señor lo alcanzó, habría sido arrojado a la orilla desnuda mientras era censurado. Y su Señor lo eligió y lo hizo de los justos. Entonces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala también nos dice en el Corán y menciona al hombre del pez, que es Jonah, cuando se fue enojado y pensó que nosotros no decretaríamos nada sobre él. Es decir, que pensó que no lo que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no iba a hacer las cosas difíciles para él. Pensó que no Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no le iba a poner en una situación difícil. Es importante mencionar que Yunus alayhi salam, que la paz de Dios sea con él, enojado y enfadado con su pueblo por el bien, por el caso, por el caso de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No fue algo personal, sino porque la gente negaron a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala y no quisieron arrepentirse y creer y alabar Allah, creer en Allah y alabarlo subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we got Yunus alayhi salam got on a ship that was loaded with people and merchandise to cross the sea to go somewhere else. Then his trouble started. A big storm came at night, according to one of the narrations, and the sea became dangerously rough to the point that the whole ship was going to be destroyed. The people in charge knew that they had to get rid of some merchandise, which they did. Then they realized that they also had to get rid of some people for the benefit of the survival of others. Imagine that. Imagine being in a boat and you're crossing the rough sea. And then the people in charge of the boat decide to actually get rid of some people. Kill some for the benefits of all. Subhanallah. May Allah protect you and I. It's a very tough situation. In one of the narrations, they were made aware, the same way that the mother of Musa, alayhi salam, was made aware to nurse him and put him in the chest and cast him into the river. It was by way of inspiration. They were inspired that they were made aware that the sea was rough because of a sinner on board or a slave that ran away from his master. So they started drawing straws. And if anyone's straw is up, he has to jump overboard or he's aboard. Imagine what a tough situation it is. So a few people were thrown overboard. A few people were. That's what happened to them. And they kept drawing until the straw of Yunus came up. When it did, they felt bad. They said, this is a righteous man. He's someone that calls people to the worship of Allah. We should not harm him. Let's try again. They did it again. It was the same result. They did it a third time, and it was the same result. So it became clear to them and to him that it was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went overboard. It's either on his own or his thrown. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Qala Allahu azza wa jal, Surah As-Saffat, 139, 140, 141. وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونِ فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ وَلَا بُدَّ نَتَوَقَّفَ هُنَا عِنْدَ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ. So again, I'm going to take a little pause here and this for people who speak Arabic, because this is important stuff for them to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says أَذَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ أَذَقَ مِنَ الْإِبَاقِ وَالْعَبْدُ الْآبِقُ هُوَ الْعَبْدُ الَّذِي هَرَبَ عَنْ سَيِّدِهِ أَوْ خَرَجَ بِدُونِ إِذْنِهِ أَوْ خَرَجَ عَنْ طَوْعِهِ وَالْفُلْكُ الْمَشْحُونَ السَّفِينَةُ الْمَلِيئَةُ بِالنَّاسِ وَالْبَضَائِعِ فَسَاهَمَ قَامَ النَّاسُ بِالسِّهَامِ لِيَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ الَّذِي يُلْقَى فِي الْبَحْرِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُنْحَضِينَ جَاءَتْ مِنَ الدَّحْضِ وَهُوَ الزَّلْقُ إلى درجة الإبطال. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يتكلم عن الصراط يصف لصحابته الصراط يوم القيامة قال دحض مذلة أي مكان تذل فيه الأقدام ولا تثبت. وقال الله عز وجل ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا بالحق أي ليزلقوا به الحق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, Jonah was among the messengers mentioned when he ran away to the ship that is full. And he drew lots, and he was among the losers. And the word that was translated into ran away was actually abaqa. That's what I was explaining in Arabic. That means a slave that disobeyed his master and left without his permission. And of course, we are all slaves and servants of Allah. And especially the prophets and messengers, they are the example of what a slave and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be like. So he drew lots, and he was among the losers, meaning that the one that lost, he drew straws and he lost, and his straw was up as a result of that. Allah says فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَضِينَ, he was made to slip out of the ship or walk the plank, as they say. Quick translation, inshallah ta'ala. Así que subió Yona, que la paz de Dios sea con él, a un barco que estaba lleno de gente y mercancía para cruzar al mar e irse a otro lado. Entonces el problema, sus problemas, los problemas comenzaron. Una gran tormenta llegó de noche, según una de las narraciones, y el mar se volvió peligrosamente, se volvió muy peligroso, hasta el punto que todo el barco iba a ser destruido. Las personas a cargo del barco, el capitán y la gente que lo ayudaban, sabían que tenían que deshacerse de algunas mercancías, de algo de las mercancías, y eso es lo que hicieron. Luego se dieron cuenta que también tenían que deshacerse de algunas personas en beneficio del sobreviviente de los demás. En una narración fueron informados de la misma manera que la madre de Moisés, que la paz de Dios sea con él, se hizo consciente para ponerlo en este cofre y arrojarlo en el agua a modo de inspiración. Pues entonces esta gente fueron inspirados por Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, se dieron cuenta que el mar era de esta manera debido a un pecador a bordo o un esclavo que había escapado de su amo, de su señor. Así que comenzaron a dibujar pajas y a poner, como se dice en inglés, straws, estas pajas, para saber eso, o bien de este lo que dice dice el suerte para hacer para bueno ver la quién iban a quién iba a saltar por la desde el bordo de este barco. Y imagina usted esta situación tan difícil que era, así que algunas personas fueron arrojados por la borda, por el bordo de este barco. Y siguieron haciendo esto hasta que llegó la paja, o bien la mala suerte de Yunus, de Jonah, que la paz de Dios sea con él. Cuando lo hizo, se sintieron mal. Entonces dijeron, este es un hombre justo, no deberíamos hacerle daño. Bueno, vamos a intentarlo otra vez. Lo hicieron de nuevo, la primera vez, segunda vez, tercera vez, y siempre el mismo resultado. Entonces él se dio cuenta, él supo que fue él, el problema vino de él. Entonces por eso él saltó del barco. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dice en el Corán, y de hecho Jonah estaba entre los mensajeros. Menciona cuando huyó al barco que fue tan lleno, que él hizo tablas y estuvo entre de los perdedores. Ya a la palabra que y a la palabra que se tradujo para huir es la es en actualidad es adaqa en el árabe, que significa un esclavo que desobedeció a su maestro, o bien que se marchó sin su permiso. Y él hizo tablas y estuvo entre los perdedores, es decir, que él perdió en los lotes y su paja estaba levantada, y como resultado de eso fue obligado a resbalar de este barco. We should mention that there's another narration that suggests that it was not a storm, but rather it was the ship being attacked by a tremendous predatory fish. As it was common back then that the giant fish or whales or some type of predatory whales. Remember, this is thousands of years ago. Maybe it's a creature and a species that is extinct, that no longer exists. It was said there are things in history that suggest that their ships were being attacked by giant predatory fish. In order to prey on people. So they drew lots, and whoever lost is thrown overboard as food for the fish, basically sacrificing a few to save hundreds. So Yunus alayhi salam was swallowed whole by a giant fish. And I know in the Bible it says a whale, but there is nothing in Islamic literature that suggests it was a whale per se, but it says it is a giant fish. And this happened in front of everyone while everyone was looking. And as soon as it did, the sea calmed down instantly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ وَمُلِيمٌ هُنَا أَيْ فَعَلَ مَا يُلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the fish swallowed him while he was blameworthy. And the scholars of tafsir say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the fish, and this is the power of Allah, the creator, the sustainer, and the manager of the universe, the one that controls every creature that walks in the earth and every creature that flies in the air and swims in the ocean. He said, he revealed to the fish that I did not send you, Yunus, Jonah, to you as food, but I send you to him as a test, a guardian, and a protector. So do not scratch his skin, and do not rip his flesh, and do not break his bones, any of his bones. So Yunus alayhi salam found himself in complete darkness. At first he thought he was dead, but he realized that he could move his hands and feet and he could stand. So he immediately went down to do sujood, prostration. He prostrated himself to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, O Allah, I made sujood to you and worshipped you in a place that no man has worshipped you before. Look at that. Look at the beauty of this. The prophets and the messengers, they always look for what we call al-manqaba in the Arabic language. It's a word that is difficult to translate. But, you know, looking for these deeds that will give them an edge, give them an advantage, make them different from the others, do something special for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are different narrations that speak about the period that he stayed in the belly of the fish, the giant fish. Some say it was one day, some say 3 days, some say 40 days. But anyone that tells you that he knows for sure has no proof, has no actual correct, authentic proof. So he remained in the belly of this giant animal for the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for him, until he made the supplication that became a sunnah and a pattern and a way for all the believers that came after him. A supplication that is specific for this situation, a supplication that is came to be known as Dua al-Karb, the supplication of distress. يقول الله عز وجل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذا النون إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن تقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Allah said and mentioned the man of the fish. He went off in anger as though that he thought that we would not decree anything upon him, would not make it difficult for him. He called out in the darknesses, within the darknesses and misses, after he was swallowed by the giant fish. Allah says, he called out in the darknesses, there is no deity except you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been of the wrongdoers. This is, like I said, it became a sunnah, a pattern for all the believers. When you find yourself in a tough situation, you say, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. There is no deity except you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been one of the wrongdoers. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, oh Allah, there is a voice of supplication that we are used to hearing on a daily basis. As Yunus was one of the messengers of Allah, and he made supplication on a daily basis. It was a way of life with the prophets and the messengers and the righteous people. So, and the angels do hear that supplication. They're familiar with it because they hear it all the time. So they said, oh Allah, there's a voice of supplication that we are used to hearing on a daily basis, but it comes from a very strange place. Shanada fi dhulumat. He called out within the darknesses. The scholars say there were three darknesses. The darkness of inside of the belly of the fish, the darkness in the bottom of the sea, and the darkness of the night. Imagine that. complete darkness. And this rarely happens, because even in the dark of the night, the stars and the moon, it gives you a little bit of light. But this is complete darkness, nothing. Exactly what a blind person goes through. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the eyesight to whoever has lost it. Cure anyone who is in the process of losing it, and reward the ones that are patient from the ones that were deprived of the eyesight from the believers, by being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this situation is tough. Complete darkness, can't see anything whatsoever. It takes a messenger of Allah with strong faith, strong iman, and strong connection and reliance on Allah to survive such an ordeal, and not die out of sheer fright. Because sometimes people will die just from complete fright, complete fear. And subhanAllah, this is the case. We have to learn from this, that whatever, doesn't matter how dark it gets and how tough your situation becomes, how gloomy things look, and as they say, you see no light at the end of the tunnel, the going gets tough, and so on and so forth. You should always remember that this universe has a Lord and Creator and a Sustainer. You should have reliance on Him and make supplication to Him, as Yunus alayhi salam did. I will translate and come right back, inshallah ta'ala. Deberíamos mencionar que hay otras narraciones que dice que no fue una tormenta, sino que era el barco fue atacado por un tremendo pez depredador. Como era común, hace miles de años que pasó eso, era común que los peces gigantes o las ballenas del tiempo, estaban acostumbrados a atacar a los barcos, y que para comerse a las personas. Así que sacaron un montón de gente, porque y lo sacaron, los echaron al agua para poder salvar a los demás. Entonces, Yunus alayhi salam fue tragado y entró fue tragado entero para este pez gigante, mientras todos lo estaban mirándole qué estaba pasando. Y tan pronto como lo hizo, el mar se calmó. Allah dijo, entonces el pez se lo tragó mientras que era culpable. Los eruditos de tafsir dijeron que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveló a este pez que no te envié a Yunus como comida, pero te envié a ti, a él, como prueba y como protector. Así que no le rasguñe su piel y no o su carne, y no le rompes ningún hueso. Yunus alayhi salam se encontró en completa oscuridad. Al principio pensó que estaba muerto, pero se dio cuenta que podía mover las manos y los pies, y que podía pararse, y por eso bajó inmediatamente a hacer el sujud. Se prostró para darle gracias a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Y él dijo, oh Allah, te hice sujud, hice la prostración para adorarle, y te rendí culto en un lugar que ningún hombre lo había hecho antes. Hay diferentes narraciones que hablan sobre el periodo de que Yunus permaneció en el vientre del pez. Algunos dicen que eso fue un día solo. Algunos que dicen que fueron 3 días y algunos dicen que fueron 40 días. Pero cualquiera que le diga que lo sabe con certeza no tiene ninguna prueba. Así que se quedó por el tiempo que Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decretó para él. Hasta que hizo una súplica que se convirtió en una sunna para todos los creyentes que vinieron después de él. Una súplica específica para esta situación, una súplica que llegó a ser conocida como Dua al-Karb, la súplica de angustia. Y Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala habló de eso en el Corán, dice, Allah dijo y menciona al hombre del pez cuando se fue enojado y pensó que nosotros no decretaríamos nada sobre él. Y clamó entre las tinieblas, no hay deidad, sino tú exaltado eres, tú de hecho he sido de los malhechores. Los ángeles, no la ciudad de Los Ángeles que está en California, los ángeles de Allah, dijeron, oh Allah, hay una voz de súplica que estamos, a la cual estamos acostumbrados a escuchar cada día, pero que viene de un lugar muy extraño. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dice, y llamo dentro de las tinieblas. Los estudios, los eruditos dicen que fueron 3 tinieblas, 3. La dentro del vientre del pez, la oscuridad del fondo del mar y la oscuridad de la noche. Se necesita un mensajero de Allah con una fe muy fuerte, una fuerte conexión y confianza en Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala para sobrevivir una prueba semejante y no morir de puro miedo. Entonces, ¿qué hizo la súplica para él? Vamos a ver lo que hizo esta súplica. So, inshallah ta'ala, today we're probably going to close by just finding out what happened. What did this supplication do for Yunus alayhi salam? So, the answer to the supplication. Allah ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we responded to him, and we saved him from the distress, and thus do we save the believers. قال الله تعالى, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not been from those who exalt Allah, he would have remained inside the belly until the day that they are resurrected. Some scholars said in explaining this ayah, said that day, if he was not a person that spent the majority of his time exalting Allah before the incident, Allah would have kept him in the belly of the fish till the day of resurrection. That's why we have a hadith by al-Hakim, hadith Abi Hurairah, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من سره أن يستجيب الله له عند الشدائد والكرب فليكثر الدعاء في الرخاء. Collected by Tirmidhi and al-Hakim with authority from Abu Huraira, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, whoever is pleased that Allah would answer his supplication in the time of hardship, let him multiply his supplication in the time of ease. وفي صحيح الجامع عن أبي هريرة قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. هذا حديث في صحيح الجامع وفي أثورتي في أبو هريرة وفي محمد peace be upon him said get to know Allah in the time of ease by constantly making supplication to him. He will know you in the time of hardship. And the second opinion of the scholars is that it is that powerful supplication that he made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that saved him from the ordeal, meaning that the actual tasbih that he did right then when he was in the middle of, inside the belly of the whale that saved him. And actually both opinions are correct and they actually complement each other. Well, because you look at Fir'aun the Pharaoh, he tried to do the same thing when he was drowning. He tried to proclaim his faith, but it did not do him any good because of his history of oppression and transgression. And as you can see, my dear listeners, there are so many things that we learn from this story. And it's the benefits are countless. The importance of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just. He does not favor anyone. All of us are equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that makes a difference between us is our belief in him and our piety and how much we follow his orders and we stay away from his prohibitions. That we have to be patient and persevere through the hardships of this life, because this life is full of hardships. And the fact that we should not lose hope and despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there will always be light after our darkest hours, because the darkest hour of the night is the one that's right before the sun rises and you can see the rays of it. So many things that we learn from this particular story that are amazing. And of course, for this Ummah of Muhammad, for the Muslims that are going through hardships today, by reading these stories that came in the Quran, you learn to hold on to your religion and be steadfast on it, as that's the effect that was intended for the Prophet Muhammad and his companions were when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these stories to them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I from the ones that benefit from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ponder upon it and understand it and implement it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I from the ones that when they hear the speech, they follow the best of it. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.